Not many obscure writers can rake in $1 million advance for a new book, but that's exactly what Vikram Chandra did when his novel Sacred Games set off a bidding war among New York publishers. It's a monster of a book, a 900-page thriller about Indian gang lords and a Mumbai police investigator. It's launched Chandra into some very select company, Indian writers who've gained international reputations. But, like Salman Rushdie and Rohinton Mystery, Vikram Chandra has also faced a nasty question. Is he really an Indian writer? After all, Chandra lives half the year in America, and he writes in English, the language of the colonizer.
I grew up in post-independence India, being aware of the past of English and how it came into the country. But in the schoolyard, with my friends who were from all parts of India, we spoke English with a mixture of Hindi or Gujarati or something else thrown in there. And it seemed to me then one of the languages in my world that I could use and therefore be able to twist it and change it. And I started writing pretty early. My mother is a screenwriter. And so I watched her writing as I grew up. And when I was 11, I had this urge to start writing down the stories that I was making up in my head. And I just naturally wrote in English.
Well, later, did it begin to bother you that you were using this language that had been imposed on your culture by others? Did it seem inauthentic to you to write in English?
Not really, because I think India is a place full of variety of languages, all of which come from various sources. For instance, Urdu or Hindustani, which is the spoken language of the last couple of 100 years or 300 years, comes from a mixture of Persian and local dialects, local languages. And the word Urdu actually comes from Urdu, which is the Mongol word for soldier's camp. So apparently it started as a soldier's patois and then became, amazingly enough, the language of refinement and the courts and love. So I think languages have interesting ways of moving through the world. What is once foreign to you then becomes your own. And that can be a painful process, but I never felt that I was betraying anything by writing in English or speaking in it.
But there is this, I suppose it may be just academic criticism of you. I know that you've written an article called The Cult of Authenticity, defending yourself against this. The people who make the criticisms must feel them. They're not just making it up out of nothing. Is there some sense in which they feel that you and other successful Indian writers are betraying the homeland in some way?
Well, I recognize where it comes from. I guess what I reject is the sort of nativist back to the soil element of that argument, implying that a person who lives in an urban area writing in English is anyway less real in their experience or their perceptions than somebody else who lives elsewhere and speaks Bengali. And I think that's attaching, valorizing one kind of experience over the other. And I think the arguments about authenticity finally recede endlessly into the past, because which authentic India are you talking about? Is it the pre-colonial India? Because everything we are now and that we do has certainly been affected by colonialism. And if you're talking about pre-colonial India, are you talking about pre-Mughal India then? Because the Mughals came in from somewhere else. So it ends up in this awful trap, I think. It's interesting, actually, since I wrote that article, I wrote it about the Indian context of this argument, but I've had writers and artists from all over the world speaking to me about this. A Basque writer in Spain, for instance, who faces the same questions about selling out, in a sense, you know, to the majority Spanish culture. Or when I taught at Breadloaf a couple of years back, a young black woman who talked to me about the same kind of tension about who are you writing for, what's your audience, how authentic are you, what's your street cred, in other words.
Well, I have to say, as a Western reader who's already confessed that Hindi is not one of the languages I speak, if you didn't write in English, I would have no hope of introduction to society that you write about. So yours is as close to authentic Indian writing as I'm likely to see.
And I'm not pretending to any special authority at all. I think even when one writes about say, a city like Bombay, there's no sense in which you can produce some sort of last version of it, the authentic one. So I like to think that what is contained in the stuff that I write is a darshan, which is a Sanskrit word, which means vision or view. And so the idea is that every one of us has a certain darshan of reality, and each one is perhaps valid or real as the other one. And I think that's all we can hope for from art.
Do you feel at all distanced from what it is that you write about? You spend, what, about half of your life in Bombay and half in Berkeley?
Yeah, it works out to about, I think, 7 months in Berkeley because of the way the semesters run, and about 5 months in India. And for me, I think maybe because I left home very early and I had this urge to go to foreign places, going away from home has been a very productive way of thinking about what home is and what it means. And I think maybe artists have always traveled for this reason, that when you encounter the foreign, it teaches you a lot about how specific and local you are.
So living in Berkeley makes Bombay come more alive to you in some ways.
Right, right. And when you go back home, you see and smell everything that was invisible before because you're unfamiliar with it all over again.
The professor who criticized you vociferously and got you to write The Cult of Authenticity, though I'm sure she didn't intend for that to happen, do you still feel at odds with her and with those she represents? Is there a view of common ground you might find?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I should also say I was younger and very angry when I wrote that, because it seemed like a lifetime of listening to that kind of criticism, that kind of thinking. And I would possibly, I mean, probably do it in a different way now. It became quite a polemic, that article, which I'm not disowning, but I think the question still remains alive. And I hear it every now and then in different forms in public and private discourse in India. In other words, especially since we've liberalized the economy and the media, and what was once very far away and foreign has come flooding in, the question of who are we exactly, who am I, and what am I becoming, becomes even more urgent. And I think the most creative or the most satisfying solutions I've seen include a multiplicity of selves within the possibility of what is Indian, so that even within the same person you contain, I think, many selves. And certainly the context where you're interacting changes that. And then I hope that in a secular, democratic way, we can actually agree to be different and yet part of perhaps a greater whole.
That's Vikram Chandra, author of the novel Sacred Games.